You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast. In this episode, we dive into the unsettling case of Jennifer Farber Dulos, who vanished on May 24, 2019. Amidst a divorce and custody battle, her estranged husband, Fotis Dulos, and his partner, Michelle Trokinis, became the center of a shocking conspiracy. Today, we bring you up to the moment coverage from the courtroom as Trokinis faces trial, accused of a role in this presumed murder.
No objection.
For Jefferson Crossing, photo 17 admitted as full.
It's 17A. Sir, do you recognize what's depicted in that photograph?
Yes.
What is depicted in that photograph?
That is a photo of an item that was found during a search of the kitchen.
Did you place it there?
I did, and along with the number.
Where in the kitchen, is that the kitchen we just saw, 17?
Yes.
Okay, so with respect to 17A, you placed the number in the bags there. Is this a fair and accurate representation? I'm sorry, I should strike that. Is this a fair and accurate representation of what that item looked like that day on June 3rd, 2019, after you had placed it there with the, item number next to it?
Yes.
State would offer 17A.
And just to clarify, you said this, you placed it there from someplace else?
It was found during a search of the kitchen.
But when you say it was found, just in something?
Yes, it was in another location.
Like under a sink, maybe?
It was in a almost like a recycling cabinet.
So under a counter someplace?
Yes.
Or in a pantry? What are we talking about?
No, it was under a counter.
And did you see it under the counter?
I don't recall.
So did you pull it out yourself from the counter?
I don't recall if I did or the person who was also searching the kitchen with me did.
And who was that again?
It was Sergeant Joe Duva.
Sergeant Duva, D-U-V-A, right?
Yes.
Was the item pulled out that way, or is that something you did for purposes of photographing?
I did not do that.
So did Sergeant Duva?
If he removed it...
You don't know.
I don't know.
Fair enough. And then there's another box that's seen in the same image. You're not being asked about that, but is that in that location where it is in this image, or is that also something that was placed there? You know?
That was removed during the search and placed on top of the counter.
Again, do you know if it came from the same recycling cabinet that you just mentioned, or was it from a different place?
I don't recall, sir.
And after it was placed, that is the object, which is a box, so I'll just say it, because I just want to be clear. You put the number next to it before that photo was taken, correct?
Yes, I did.
And that's why in the previous photograph, we don't see this at all, right? Of the number 17, do we see that in that image?
No.
Go back one just for a minute, please. Yeah, so that was placed after this image was taken, right?
Yes, this was taken before the search actually got started.
And so that I'm clear about the 17A, that's how it looked after it was placed by maybe Sergeant Duva and after he'd taken out of someplace else, right?
Yes.
With that clarification, I do not object.
Thank you. For Jefferson Crossing, photo 17A admitted as full.
Sir, just a couple more. 18 and 19. Sir, do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
Yes.
What is depicted in that photograph?
These were the dining room and living room of the residence we found on the first floor.
Do those photographs fairly and accurately represent what the dining room and the living room look like at 4 Jefferson Crossing on June 3rd, 2019?
Yes.
Photograph 20, sir, do you recognize what's depicted in that photograph?
Yes, I do.
What is depicted in that photograph?
That is a photograph of that, second floor office, business office.
Did you go into the office?
I did.
Did you assist in a search in the office?
Yes.
With respect to this photograph, where in the timeline of the search is this photograph taken?
This is taken at the end of the search.
How do you know?
Because on the chair, you can see a copy of page 5 of the search warrant.
Does this photograph fairly and accurately represent what the office looked like at the end of the search on June 3rd, 2019?
Yes.
Well, the court just wants to clarify the testimony. Was this photo taken at the end of the search, or was this photo taken last?
This was one of the last photos taken at the scene prior to us clearing.
Okay, thank you.
Just to clarify, sir, do you take photographs at the end of the scene? At the end of the processing or the end of the search?
Yes, we do.
Why do you do that?
Just documents the condition of the scene as we left it.
Show you what's been marked as picture 21. Do you recognize what's depicted in that photograph?
Yes.
What is it?
That is an item found in the upstairs office.
Did you find this item?
I did not initially locate it, no.
Who did?
Detective Pearson.
Did you place it in the area that it's depicted in the photograph?
I don't recall if it was already in that exact location or if I just squared it up for photography purposes.
What is this location?
This is the center table in the upstairs office.
Is that the table that was on the preceding photograph you saw?
Yes.
And when the markings or placards on the top of it, did you put those there?
I did.
Does this photograph fairly and accurately represent this item as displayed after you put the markings at the top of the item?
Yes.
State would offer, 21, I believe, and 22. Sir, do you recognize that?
Yes.
What is that?
That's the reverse side of that item.
Did you flip the page over to the reverse side?
I did not.
Okay, do you know who did?
The photographer did.
Did you look at the back and the front of it?
I did.
And did you make a decision to seize that as an exhibit that day?
Yes.
States 22 fairly and did you move the placards or the right numbers at the top of it?
Did I move the placards?
Move them in between of the photo shoots, I guess.
I did not.
Okay. And so those are the ones that you put down?
Yes.
Does this picture fairly and accurately represent the backside of that paper that day?
Yes.
State would offer 20, 21, and 22.
May I inquire?
Yes.
With regard to um, the items in the trash barrel, is that how you observed them when this picture was taken?
At the conclusion of processing, that's what it appeared to be.
Did you either take something out of that trash barrel or put something in before this picture was taken?
I did not personally, but I know that those trash barrels were searched.
Somebody did go through them?
Yes.
So maybe things were moved around in this?
As depicted in this picture, yes.
Okay. Absolutely. And then if you could go to, please, 21 for a moment. I just want to be clear. The folds and the wrinkles that are in this item, were they on it when you first observed it?
Yes.
You didn't do folds or anything to change it, right?
No.
And or crumple it in any way?
No.
Do you recall whether the item, when you first saw it, was in that trash barrel?
I don't recall. This is the first time I saw this. It was in this condition.
But you don't know who took it out from wherever it was, right? You weren't the one who discovered it.
I did not discover it, no.
Someone else called your attention to it.
Yes.
And this is the condition it was in when you, you said you might have moved it to straighten it out, but that it was in this general location next to the item with a post-it on it when you seized it, right?
It was on the table.
Okay. And you didn't take whatever else is in this Exhibit 21, right? There's some items to the right there with some post-it and some other stuff that I just want to make clear. That was not seized?
No, it was not.
All right. And then if you could just please go to 22. You're saying this is the back side of that same document, right?
Yes.
And did you flip it over, or did someone else flip it over for this image?
For this photograph?
Yeah.
I did not do it. It was the photographer.
I didn't hear the
line. It was the photographer.
The photographer, and that would have been either of the two officers you mentioned, Detective Hazen, or I forget her name now. What was the other photographer that day?
It was Detective Keppel.
Keppel?
Keppel.
How did she pronounce it?
Keppel.
With like an O-E-P-P?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure we're talking about the same person. I don't have any objection.
So for Jefferson Crossing, photos 20, 21, and 22 admitted as full.
Thank you, Your Honor. That contains the entirety of State 71.
Well, Madam Clerk is indicating what happened to photo 18.
And 19.
And 19.
Mm-hmm. 18 and 19, Your Honor, I offer that as well. 18 and 19 were the living room, and I believe dining room. State would offer that. I don't believe there was an objection to those.
No. No objection.
So, for Jefferson Crossing, photos 18 and 19 admitted as full.
Thank you. So I'm going to draw your attention to the screen behind you. Do you recognize what's depicted on that screen? This is photograph one.
Yes, I do.
What is that?
That is Jefferson Crossing, number four. Is depicted on the right-hand side of the frame.
Would you mind standing up and just pointing to it, please?
And this is for Jefferson Crossing here.
You can have a seat, sir. Thank you. What is depicted on two?
This is the front of the residence at Fort Jefferson Crossing.
Do we also see the van?
Yes. Parked right out front.
Okay. And these other cars?
Those are belong to members of the crime van.
Picture four?
That's the front door of the residence.
Picture six?
That is one side of the residence.
And picture seven?
The back of the residence.
On that day, sir, did you go search the outside of the property as well, or I should say the lawn area?
Yes, I walked the lawn around the house.
And who was with you that day for the search of Fort Jefferson Crossing?
It was Detective Duva, Detective Hazen, Detective Keppel, Detective Pearson, and Detective McGavin.
And 10, sir, if you could just describe what is depicted in 10.
That's at a portico or drive-through between the two garages.
Now, I know there was some questions about this, if you can. Which side, and I am going to ask if you can go to the screen behind you, sir.
Sure.
Which side is closest to the house?
So this is the back of the residence. So this side would be towards the house, the kitchen, the bedrooms, things like that. I'm calling this over here the office side.
Okay, and when you say the back of the residence, is the street through there?
Yes,
through
you can see Jefferson Crossing is the street right there, at the end of the driveway.
And this door, sir, picture 11, which side of the, I guess, cut through is that on, the one close to the house or the office?
The office. It'll be on this side.
This garage picture, 12, please.
This is the garage is on the house side of that drive-thru.
And 13?
That's the garage on the office side of the drive-thru.
Now, in the garage, did you seize anything for evidentiary value?
No.
14.
That is the garage on the house side of that drive-thru.
And 15.
That's the garage on the office side.
Did you seize anything of evidentiary value from those two garages?
No, ma'am.
You can have a seat, sir. If you can, just describe what is depicted in 16.
So this is the mudroom on the first floor. The door to the backyard will be on the left-hand side of the frame. And this is taken from the doorway towards the kitchen.
Did you conduct a search of the mudroom, sir?
Yes, I did.
Did you personally conduct a search, or did anybody else search that area depicted in that photograph?
I personally conducted the search.
When you conduct a search of an area like the mudroom, what areas did you search?
Everything. So I'll start on in one corner and just systematically work through all cabinets, shelves, you know, items found on the floor until I reach the corner again to ensure that I checked everything.
Were you wearing any protective gear while you were doing this?
I was wearing gloves.
In that search, did you search any of the bags?
Yes.
I'm going to draw your attention to the, I guess, middle of that photograph. Do you see that black bag on the photograph?
Yes.
Did you search that bag?
I did.
Where was it when you searched it? Or I should withdraw that. Where did you first see it?
So I initially found it underneath the bench. It was upright, leaning against the side of one of those cubbies.
On the top or the bottom?
Oh, I'm sorry, on the bottom. So it was resting on the floor.
Did you go through that bag?
Yes, I did.
Sir, what is depicted in 16A?
That is an item that I found within that black bag. It was a portable hard drive.
And did you find anything else inside that backpack?
I did.
What did you find?
I found three photocopy pages of a handwritten note.
State 16B. Do you recognize what's depicted on that photograph?
Yes.
What is it?
Those are those three photocopy pages of a handwritten note that I found in a black bag.
With respect to this bag, sir, where inside the bag did you find those pages?
Within the main compartment of the, it appeared to me to be like a computer bag.
Were there any other papers contained in that bag?
No.
What was the state they were in when they were inside the bag when you first saw them?
They were just as they appeared on the floor. They were flat.
They weren't folded or anything like that?
No.
Were they stapled or taped together?
No.
Or were they next to each other?
No. They were stacked on top of each other.
Did you make a decision to seize those as evidence that day?
I did.
Did you give it an evidence number?
I did, 158.
When you seize something for evidence, sir, what's your process of doing that?
So I will, once a decision has been made to seize it, I'll give it an evidence number, mark it appropriately, like either with these yellow plastic placards or with those adhesive evidence rulers. I'll notify both photographers, both the backup and the primary. They will come photograph the item. And then once it's been photographed and it's been documented in notes, I will package it appropriately, seal it, and label it.
Why did you seize this item?
I'm gonna object.
Well, the obvious answer is it was of some evidentiary value. So the court will allow the question.
Why did you seize that item, sir?
Because it was labeled on top.
I'm going to object to him characterizing. I thought he was going to answer as Your Honor suggests.
Well, what the court wants to try to avoid at this point is a description of the content of the documents.
That's fine, Your Honor. I could withdraw that if I may just approach with...
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, State 74, I don't believe there's an objection, if I may just approach the
witness. Thank you.
Sir, if you can, take a look. What is that document? Or what is contained in State 74, actually?
This is the evidence envelope I used to package the three photocopies.
Your Honor, at this time, the state's intention is to ask the court to allow it to open and publish using the ALMO. Reading it to the jury, perhaps we should do that after lunch.
Well, they have to be offered, correct?
There's no objection.
There is no objection.
No objection to the admission.
Thank you. Do you wish to do that now?
It's going to take a while.
Well, better to start at 2:00.
Thank you. Can I have that back, sir?
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take our lunch and recess. We plan to resume at 2:00. Please do not discuss the case. Have a good lunch.
All rise. This honorable Superior Court now stands in recess. You can exit the courtroom.
Would counsel approach, please?
Are we off the record?
Yes, off. Thank you.
I went for the.
It hurt your wrist when I had it.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
I may have one moment. I'm not sure. Attorney Shulman's in the back. I think I'll be right back.
Attorney Manning also.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. If I may get Detective Riley.
Can you state
74
years from you?
Yes,
I do.
Do you have scissors?
No.
And the other.
Thank you.
If you could please open that.
The three photocopies that I seized from Fort Jefferson Crossing on June 2nd, 2019.
If you could take them out, please.
Thank you.
Sir, do you see what's depicted on the screen behind you?
Yes.
Is that the top half of the document that you seized that day?
Yes.
I would ask at this time if you can stand up and read it, publish it to the jury, please.
Sure.
Starting at the top line.
Some of the words I can't make out.
Okay, if you can, please, if you could start, what day?
Friday, 5/24/2019.
And here on the left?
And it says 1 a.m.
And could you read what is said right next, what is written right next to 1 a.m.?
I really can't make it out, man.
Okay, and what about right below 1 a.m.? What is there?
It's 6 o'clock. And then Jay Michelle, DEPT, with her. Then below that, 6:40 wake up, alarm. And then took shower together, dress, jeans, lucky plus blue shirt, coffee and cereal. Brought computer to office.
And over here on the right, far side, what does that say?
It's like a Nishi, I can't make out this word, doing juice bulk.
And underneath that, please, starting with the next line.
This is 7, office. 7:15, Kent. 7:30, Nishi left. 8:27, Andrea called, spoke briefly. I can't make out this mark here. Nishi back, office and kitchen. And it's like 8:50, Kent left, it's 9, and then we're 10, work on reviewing, can't make out this word here, but it's specification, and budget, Nishi and Andy covered our drafts. Continuing over to this side, looks like either 8 o'clock or 9. Can't make out that word called, and Nishi took, can't make that out either, to Hutch and Aqua's supermarket.
Your Honor, if the witness cannot read something, it's obviously it's whoever's handwriting it is. To have this witness interpret it, he's misreading what the document is, and I'm not sure him reading it is making it any clearer, if not more obscure, by misstating words that at least I think I know what they are. So I have to object to this procedure. If it was a clear document, it's one thing. If it's clarified by someone who knows what's on the document, that's one thing as well. But to have this witness read things, if he said he did not, couldn't make it out, then I'd be fine. But he's reading something, saying it out loud, and it's not correct. How do I cross-examine on that since I don't, this is not my client's handwriting? So.
Well, of course. The comment that this is not my client's handwriting is never to testify.
If I can, Your Honor, I'm sorry. I apologize, Your Honor.
Just because this witness cannot read every word does not mean that there is no juror who can read the words. It's written in cursive or somewhat in cursive. Some jurors may be able to read it better than the detective class. So the objection is over.
We can continue, sir.
So left off here 10:30, 10:45, left for again, can't make out these two words. 12 over here, about 10. I read that already. So 12 o'clock lunch. Can't make out that word. Del Pepe together. Can't make that out. Mishi. One computer sent email to Michelle Hogue, 125. Sent email to Jennifer, 124. Under 2, 585 Deercliff, Avon, called Mishi. I can now make out this time here.
Ken, I'm going to move it up.
MS measured tree line. Called Mishi three times, 3:15 to 4 p.m. I cannot make out these two lines here. Same goes with this. About clients visiting on Saturday. Spoke to her. Can't make that out. And went for. Can't make out the rest of this line here. 5:15, call Mishi. 4:30, Pavel. 5, back in house. 6:41, emailed. Can't make out that from phone. 7, West Hartford Starbucks. 2 Frappuccinos. Two Frappuccinos, I did not like. Cannot make that out.
I'm going to move it up.
Eight, officer at 8:15, called Lauren, called officer, can't make that out. Texted, cannot read that. 8:24, 9, 8:45, left for Ethel Walker, expected with Mishi. And I can't make out these two words there. 10, 9:45, back in house, dinner by myself in front of TV. 11, texted Lauren.
And at the bottom of the page, sir, is that cut off?
Yes, it is.
Is this the original document?
This is a photocopy.
This is what you found out of that bag that day?
Yes.
One of the pages?
Correct.
If you could start at the top, sir.
Sure. Phone calls. Nicole, incoming, 12:59, 16 seconds, thunderstorm. It's like Mammy, incoming, 8:02, 2 minutes. Outgoing, 8:02, 5 seconds.
Outgoing, 7:45, 16 minutes. That's Petu, P-E-T-U. Outgoing, 8:41, 25 seconds. Outgoing, 8:38, 59 seconds. Danny, canceled, 8:53. Pappy, canceled, 8:54. Bruja, canceled, 8:55. Danny, outgoing, 9:16, 16 minutes. Petu, outgoing, 9:38, 2 minutes. Rugs, outgoing, 11:52, 38 seconds. Spoke with Barbara.
Oh, here, I'll move it over.
She didn't know where Rugs were. Then here, Nicole FaceTime, incoming, 11:53, 2 minutes. Otis, incoming, 1:53, 23 seconds. Nicole, FaceTime, incoming, 2:39, 1 minute. Otis, outgoing, 3:57, 2 seconds. Incoming, 3:35, 36 seconds. Incoming, 3:16, 1 minute. Poppy, incoming, 4:26, 21 seconds. Rugs, incoming, 4:26, 1 minute. Fotis, incoming, 5:16, 47 seconds. Bruja, incoming, 5:26, 13 minutes. And then Petu, outgoing, 7:07, 3 minutes. Outgoing, 5:58, 18 seconds. Poppy, incoming. I can't make out that number there. 39, 1 minute. Bruja, missed call, 8:26. Nicole, incoming, 8:15. Six 6:40, alarm, woke up and went to room, took shower with Fotis, black leggings, black Adidas, black sweater. 7, it's like either 0 or 10 or 7 o'clock. Made juice for Nicole and kids off to school, made scrambled eggs for Nicole. 7:20, took Nicole to school. 8:12, back home. 8:30, cook an omelet. 9 o'clock, went to take bag of, can't make out that word, to warehouse. Can't read that, Hutch and secretary. 9:30, Stop and Shop. 10:30, back home with grocery. 11 o'clock, went to Petu shop to say bye. 11:30, went to pond to ski, and no one there to hold me. Oh, pull me, sorry. 12 o'clock, had lunch to Fotis, Pastel de Papa. 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, home. 3:30, went with cleaning supply to A.M. Back and forth. 4:30, Pablo came. 5:10, drove to pick up Rugs and drove back too late to pick up closes at 5:30, spoke with Barbara.
Thank you, sir. If you can, please put them back. Thank you.
Here.
Sir, I want to draw your attention. Actually, may I have one moment? Let me go back to State 71. And file for Jeff, for Jefferson. What you just read, sir, was that what was contained on 158?
Yes.
?163. Did you seize that item as an exhibit as well?
Yes, I did.
Why did you do that?
Excuse me, ma'am?
Why?
Because it was very similar to the item that I found in the mudroom.
If I may approach, Your Honor? State 75. Sir, if I may just have a moment. If I may approach the witness, Your Honor.
Yes.
Mr. Speaker, sir, 163, where was that item, what area of the house of Fort Jefferson Crossing was that item found in?
In the office, on that center glass table.
Who found it?
Detective Pearson.
Did you see it like as it is displayed in the photograph, 21 off of Fort Jefferson on State 71?
Yes, I'm the one who placed the numbers there.
If you could take a look at the item in front of you, sir. What is that?
This is the evidence packaging for the item depicted on the screen.
How do you know?
Because it is labeled as such. And also, these are my initials on the back.
Did you place the item inside the packaging?
Yes, I did.
State would offer. I'm sorry, what exhibit number is it?
165.
State would offer State 75, Your Honor.
Can I just look at the envelope again?
I have no objection.
State 75 is good.
Do you still have your gloves and your scissors, sir?
Yes.
Would you mind please opening that? Sir, did you look inside that envelope?
Yes, I did.
What is contained therein?
It's the piece of paper I seized is Exhibit 163.
If you could take it out, please. Your Honor, if I may, it's on your own publish. Sir, I'm going to draw your attention again to the screen behind you. No, sir, with respect to this page, if I can. You could take a look, please, as you just read from the other document. Is this the same page?
It's similar, ma'am. There's apparently some additional writing on it.
There is additional writing on this page?
Yes.
Where is that?
Mostly on the right-hand side of the paper.
If I may approach, Your Honor. If you could please hold it up and just indicate where the additional writing is.
So it appears this is different than the previous exhibit. And also, this bottom is not cut off.
That page has three hole punches on the side, is that correct?
Correct.
Is that a photocopy?
No, this appears to be a handwritten note.
If I may, I'm going to draw your attention to the screen, sir. If you could just read the additional writing. That is different from the other item that you just read, please.
So this is Pavel texted with, can't make that out, 212. Texted Pavel 213. Texted Pavel 224. I can't read that. Called Pavel 338. Pavel called at 440. I can't make out the last digit with the asterisk. And then 1 a.m. officer called from NC, called him back.
So with respect to the document you just read off of the screen and this one, the only difference would be this part over here with respect to these writings about Pavel.
It appears to be.
As well as the bottom is not cut off. Is that correct?
Correct.
Did the other document have a backside?
No, they were one-sided photocopies.
Is there something on the back of this side?
Yes, ma'am.
Sir, if you will, if you can read.
Difficult to make out clearly. Met with, can't make this out. Neither with this time. Patton from NCPD, Rose, APPR 1015, Meehan 1050. Actually, these minutes are difficult to make out too. Text Jacob. You have the 203 phone number here.
There's more to come at the Michelle Trokinas trial in the Jennifer Farber Dulos case. The mystery deepens, and justice seeks its course. Press subscribe now, and stay tuned for more episodes unraveling the truths behind the most perplexing criminal cases from true crime today.